Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the District Report on behalf of the American Federation of Government Employees and Phil Glover. Appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Today we do have actually Phil Glover with us, and Phil, welcome back.
Thanks, Chuck. How you doing?
Brother, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate you being with us. Hey, one more time, our Republican friends threatening to shut down the government. A whole myriad of problems behind that. Cost the taxpayers a lot of money every time they go on vacation for a couple weeks when they do this kind of stuff. What do we got to do to get them to stop?
Well, that's the rub, isn't it, Chuck? You got the last time they did this in 2013, it was over an argument about the Affordable Care Act, and it was shut down, and that cost the taxpayers about $24 billion.
How much?
About $24 billion. That's 24 with a B. That shutdown cost because of between the costs of the agencies preparing for a shutdown, different things that they have to do internally. They actually call employees at essential agencies like law enforcement agencies. They actually eliminate their annual leave and they call them back in. So they actually have more staff working than normal. There's just a lot of things that they do, and it's they don't think through this.
Right, and let's face it, and Phil, one of the other things we got to point out is Congress gets their paycheck, don't they?
Well, they normally fund themselves. I'm not sure in this case. I haven't looked, but normally they pass their legislative appropriations bill. They usually pass that separately. So yeah, they get theirs. Their office expenses are passed, and
their staff gets paid,
things like that. Sure. Yeah. I mean, normally that stuff all gets done because they do a separate funding bill. Now, I haven't looked at that and seen if they did do that this year, but I believe they passed an appropriation for the House and Senate so that they can function.
Now, Phil, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but let me ask you a question.
No, go ahead.
I mean, you know, if does the request to Social Security, the IRS, or the VA, or any of the other organizations in the federal government, do those requests stop coming in when the federal government shuts down? I mean, does the amount of work just go away?
Certainly, what will happen is for a lot of these agencies is that, you know, the United States citizens will keep sending in what they're, you know, if they're applying for VA benefits, they'll send it in. If they're applying for their Social Security or disability, that keeps coming. Even things that people don't really think about much, like passports. You know, when people start to get ready for a trip and they put in for their passports, that has to go through a federal agency. And, you know, I think in one of the shutdowns that I was involved in when I was still a staff member, there were, you know, thousands of people that had applied for their passports to travel, and it was all hung up in the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really caused a lot of grief with, you know, just people out, you know, trying to do their normal things.
Right. You know, and other things that happen, you know, for instance, the IRS is shut down. You know, poultry inspectors, they get shut down. You know,
well,
so
what'll probably happen with them is they'll be deemed essential.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have to work with no pay. And that's the other problem with these shutdowns. These agencies or workforces that are deemed essential, frankly, even the agencies that are deemed non-essential, that could be like Social Security. But the law enforcement agencies, the inspectors, some of the park police in some of the places, yeah, they may be deemed essential and have to come to work with no pay, you know, and then at the end of the shutdown, you know, they'll receive pay, but that doesn't help you when you're in the middle of a pay period and you lose half of your paycheck because of a shutdown.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and there's others out there. For instance, the Center for Disease Control, they do research all the time to prevent diseases, to prevent outbreaks, so on and so forth. And that research that they do, that clinical research, it's time sensitive. So you cannot just not show up and not do the scientific research that you need to do, and come back to it a couple weeks later, because that could literally blow years worth of research that you've done before.
Well, it's like that. NIH is another one, National Institute of Health. They're, for instance, they're looking constantly at different flu strains, and they're looking at this and that. And we have federal workers that work for the National Institute of Health, and they'll be shut down and told to go home. And, right in the middle of those research projects, and that just, again, it's all very short-sighted. And, mm-hmm. and frankly,
it's punitive.
You have the Congress, the House, the Senate, and the White House are all controlled by the Republican Party. The House can put something on the floor today if they choose. I understand from news reports and different things that we're hearing that they can't even get their own bill together in the House. The conservatives want cuts, and they want a huge increase to defense, and others want increases to non-defense things. So they're having trouble just getting a normal continuing resolution on the floor today. And this shuts down tomorrow. 22nd is it. Right at Christmas. Here we are again, right at Christmas. And it's pretty sad that this is where our government is. They did have time to pass a big tax cut for rich people, though. They got that done.
Right. And they've got time to plan their vacations that they're going to get when they get paid.
Exactly. they're in fine shape.
They're in fine shape, and quite frankly, they're not concerned about people getting their Social Security checks. They're not concerned about Medicare or Medicaid. You guys out there, you can eat cake. Yeah.
Well, and they've unfortunately, and I don't know about you, Charles, but we monitor social media and look at social media, and it seems like a lot of just normal, regular, working class people have been convinced that you just get rid of government. And, then when they go to get something done, they're like, hey, why can't I get this done? Well, because they're trying to shrink government agencies. They're trying to make sure that, they're outsourcing government agencies. They're doing whatever they can to destroy from within
right.
government agencies. And then the public wonders, why isn't this working? Well, it's because they're not putting the resources in to make sure that these places function.
Absolutely. Phil, I got to say, if you want to improve government services, get rid of the contractors. Let's go back to having civil servants doing the jobs.
Well, that's because, as you know, Charles, a company out there is not under the watch of Congress. Federal agencies get called to the carpet all the time from Congress, from both sides of the aisle, when something goes kind of off the rails. We've seen that. But contractor workforces, obviously, they're not, under scrutiny and review. The companies get the contract from the agency. They screw up or they overcharge or whatever. It was like this VA overcharging that happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
It took the press to bring that forward. It took the union to bring that forward. And they still really haven't done, a whole lot to correct it.
Phil, you and I are both veterans. You and I are both your former civil servants. We know how important it is for AFGE members, civil servants that support the U.S. military, active duty, guard and reserve, to be there on the job to support the warfighters that are out there. When we come back, let's talk about that and what the damage is when it comes to those people not being on the job to help our warfighters get the job done. Okay?
Sounds good.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the District Report on behalf of the 3rd District, the American Federation of Government Employees, and Phil Glover.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
You know what really gets a party started? Indoor baseball. Yeah, just find a broom or a pool cue, and you can use, like, anything as a ball. Cans, bottles, shoes.
Hey, bro, toss me that avocado.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Underage drinking and driving, the ultimate party foul. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM fighting for American jobs. Nabisco, maker of iconic snack brands like Oreo, Ritz Crackers, and Chips Ahoy, has made its fortunes in America, and its patriotic response has been to send U.S. jobs to Mexico. As a result, consumers across the U.S. continue to boycott their Mexican-made products. Corporate revenues are down across North America. Consumers are sending a loud, clear message. Now, religious leaders from all faiths across the U.S. are calling for an investigation into this Nabisco business model and have scheduled a 6-city tour to look deeper into the matter. Just as the NAFTA negotiations are in the forefront, the faith community will begin to talk to workers, politicians, and other faith-based leaders addressing this U.S. jobs exodus by Nabisco from a moral and ethical perspective and widely publishing their findings. The BCTGM and Interfaith Workers' Justice, its faith-based coalition partner, ask all people of faith and social conscience to join this fight against Nabisco's exploitation of workers in the U.S. and in Mexico. Millions are already not buying Nabisco products made in Mexico, and it's already impacting their bottom line. Join our fight for moral and economic justice at fightforamericanjobs.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the District Report on behalf of the American Federation of Government Employees, District 3, and President Phil Glover. Phil, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Charles.
Phil, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Now, Phil, before we went to break, we were talking about, we're both veterans. We have both served in the civil service. We know how important it is to have military support or civilian support for the military so the military can go out and do their job. Everything from repairing equipment to training to administrative functions to medical, all kinds of other things like that. If DOD civilians, military civilians, are very, very important to the warfighting effort, and these are some of the people that are going to be furloughed because of this government shutdown. This is incredible.
Yeah. Under, for instance, you know, a couple of years back when they did this sequestration, where they ended up having 11 furlough days in Department of Defense, and those were 11 working days that people had to take off with no pay, and in the end, you know, those things affect the military. And, you know, it's similar to why we always ask for pay parity with the military, is because we have people that deploy with them who are civil servants And that's why we bring that up every year, that there's a pay raise when we have them, similar to this year. And, you know, those people, without them, you know, the military wouldn't be as prepared, and their equipment wouldn't be as prepared. People at Toby Hann Army Depot or our defense logistics agencies that we have in Pennsylvania, for instance, the Air Force Base in Dover, Delaware, you know, those mm-hmm. places are all supported by our civil servants, Mechanicsburg Navy Depot. You know, I mean, we have a number of them around Pennsylvania that right. are very important to the military.
Right. And it doesn't stop there. For instance, Customs and Border Protection, they have people that are non, quote unquote, critical people that do administrative functions, that handle pay, that handle paperwork, that handle the logistics and supplies. They're not going to be going to work. Same thing with the FBI and the CIA and defense logistics and all these other people. So what we have is not only do we have law enforcement and critical function personnel that have to do their job, but now they got to go worry about supply, or now they got to go worry about the administrative stuff. And the stuff that doesn't get done, taken care of during these times, just piles up. So imagine this, evidence from a crime scene just waiting to be processed because we've got a governmental shutdown that's been contrived by the Congress.
We, you know, Charles, it's a really these things, and the other thing is there's no set formula for some of this stuff. So some federal agency might declare all of their employees essential and make them all come to work with no pay.
Right.
And others might piecemeal it and decide, well, we'll have these people come and these other people not. So it is confusing to the employees. Again, in the LEO agencies, the law enforcement agencies, when I was involved in two shutdowns as a law enforcement officer, they basically told us all to come in off of annual leave, that it was an emergency situation. And so here we came off annual leave, you know, which number one, you know, everybody kind of calculates how much leave they have at the end of the year and uses it. And then the other thing is you could go into use or lose leave. So that affects you. The other thing is you have more staff there than you normally would. You know, if you're allowed to have so many people off per pay period, you have all these people back, so they're walking around bumping into each other, and it's really not something that you need. And again, the Congress, you know, these people make $179,000 a year, up to $240,000, depending if you're on leadership, mm-hmm. and they can't get a frickin' appropriations bill together to fund the government for the year. It's just amazing. And to me, you have the whole party in charge of everything. And they can't get their own bill together. Now, I don't like some of their priorities, obviously, but they still should be able to fund the government.
I agree. And, you know, one of the other unfortunate things we haven't talked about is, and we saw this on TV when we had a congressman at one of the national parks in Washington, D.C., berating a national park ranger for having to close one of the monuments. And it's required by law. It's required by law. If the government shuts down and we do not have the safety personnel and the paramedics on duty to safely and securely open those monuments, you don't open them. But yet we had a congressman in public berating a civil servant who was not permitted to defend themselves, just having to take the guff that a congressman tosses out there as some kind of, schoolyard bully.
Well, it was a photo op. It was that's one of these photo ops that these people do. To make the public think that they care. Well, if they cared, they would have kept the government open.
Right.
Those monuments, for instance, here in Western Pennsylvania, you have the Braddock Grave, for instance. Or,
right.
You know, there's
the 9/11 memorial.
Right, right. And these sites are out there, and our, and the public goes and visits them. And you don't know, you know, you might be driving by and see it and pull in. But the fact is, we have federal workers and you know, agencies that make sure they're cleaned up around those sites, make sure that there's no garbage at those sites, make sure those sites are not defaced in any way, and that, as you said, the public is safe at those sites. And so, you know, they come out here, you know, I think that was Senator Cruz and somebody else who did that in D.C. that, you know, berating these federal workers. And, you know, those people, they have to do, the Congress shut the government down. If the federal agency head, whoever that is, who's a cabinet level secretary, by the way, is the one that sent the orders out to shut those sites down. It's not some GS-4 federal employee or GS-5 who's down there doing their job every day who decided to do that. And our public, and the public needs to understand that.
Right,
you know, because this is coming from very different levels.
Right, but they oftentimes are the ones that take the guff, and that's unfortunate.
They get the brunt of it. Sure.
Right, you know, it's like a TSA screener. My God, they don't make up the rules. They don't make up the procedures.
No.
They have to follow it. They're ordered by their leadership to follow it. But at the end of the day, when their leadership orders them to do something really dumb, and that's happened, they've got to do it. Otherwise, they're not following what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and we're not talking about, you know, these decisions are not, you know, what we're not talking about here is things that are violating people's civil rights or the law. These are things within that, and the federal workforce does those things. You're really not allowed to disregard a lawful order if you're a federal worker. And a lot of people, you know, think, well, this is against this or this is against that. But that those things have to go through the courts, and our federal workforce is not, you know, you don't sit there on the job and say, well, is this legal? You know, am I supposed to figure this out, you know, legally through the Supreme Court decision? They have to follow what their supervisors are telling them to do. I had this discussion with somebody the other day about the FBI. We got into a discussion about the FBI. And, you know, the issue is they go to the courts, they get subpoenas. You know, if the court gives a subpoena, then the FBI executes it and does searches. You know, they don't just willy-nilly go searching people generally, I don't believe. And, you know, these are things, again, that the public needs to realize. This is coming from a very high level. You know, this administration is making these decisions, and they have the opportunity to either do good things or bad things, and that's how we look at it.
I agree. Listen, Phil, we got to get going. We appreciate you being with us. How do we find out more about the American Federation of Government Employees and specifically District 3?
We can always go to AFGDistrict3.org or AFG.org. Either of those will get you to a third district. And, you know, the presidents in third district have access to me. A lot of your federal agencies in PA and Delaware are in AFG. And anytime we can come on and answer some questions, Charles, we appreciate it.
Brother, we appreciate all the great things you're doing. In the meantime, happy holidays. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Phil Glover of the American Federation of Government Employees, District 3. I'm Charles Showalter, and you've been listening to The District Report.